Just now I have to be careful about what I say.
Yeah, right.
I could have said anything before. No, now that's it.
I shouldn't have asked.
We're coming from Arborlo with you this morning?
No, we had with Mitch.
Oh, nice. Awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it a continuation of the last thing, or it's another series?
Same thing. We have one more. We did social today, and we're going to do spiritual next.
Shock. Yeah. Amazing.
It's a great breakdown.
Okay. Yeah, we'll take these and then we'll... Really, we're starting on...
I mean, the sheet you gave for the alumni was so connected to last week. It's like they work beautifully in tandem.
Yeah.
Wrapped up.
Yeah, that's what I would have wanted. If we had 2 hours, we would have then gone into that from what we started with.
Yeah.
With the...
Really great.
Time, this world. Hashem created time so that we'd appreciate all the parts. Mm-hmm. You know, if you didn't have time is gvul, right? But gvul is a good thing because it makes you have to show up. So it's like, yeah, we'll just take our time.
Yeah, just walk this year.
Huh? Sure. Just walk to Shul?
No,
to the shir.
Okay, I appreciate you guys.
It's actually very cool. They were like very calm, like, bye Mitch, we'll see you later. And then they're like, go.
Let me get my clock. You know what? No clocks today.
If you want, I'll just
no, cool.
No, it's okay. I'm going till we finish.
Okay,
great.
So,
you say she can do that?
Hmm? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, what you're looking at here, sorry, I didn't get a chance to put it in front. This is a piece in Likutei Maharan. So that's the big piece. And this is where... This is kind of one of those pieces that you read in his work where you're like, oh, wow, you really did know like every concept that existed in Torah, including all of Kabbalah, and you expected all of us to know that coming into each piece. Great.
Wow.
It's really, really phenomenal and fascinating. He himself is just a fascinating character. I think he was 33 when he died.
Really?
Wow. So you put that in context, and you think, wow. He was 33? Oh, we are so behind. You know, like...
I have 2 years, Rabbi. Give me a break.
Yeah, okay. Well, all you got to do is know the rest of that, and then start writing. He barely even wrote, too. All of this, like all the great tzaddikim, they're written by his Talmud. Yeah, when you think about it, it's like, whoa. And the other person who was 33, I think I'm pretty sure he was 33, was the Rama. The Rama died at 33.
The Rama.
The Rama.
No, the Kabbalah Rama.
No, the Rama. The Shulchan Aruch. That we all learn and base our entire lives off of. Right. Gosh. He wrote that years before he died.
Wasting my time.
In his 20s. He wrote 33 Sfarim. And like he wrote on everything, Kabbalah, philosophy, halacha, the Rama. Yeah.
Kabbalah of Korbanos, right?
Yeah. And of the Beis Hamikdash. And I mean, he wrote on everything. He wrote the most beautiful psychological parish on the Megillah, where he takes everybody in the story and says, that's a part of your mind. And he goes through like each. I mean, like, there are people on this planet that have lived that are just like, boom. So he was one of them. Just really, really unbelievable. Makes you say thank you that we get to be here now. Okay, so what are we going to look at? So this is what we wanted to look at last week. We pushed it off. We said it was too amazingly powerful to do both in one day. The framework of looking in this piece is he's trying to help us with one thing. As you go through life, you basically have two options. You can be at war with life or at peace with life. And basically how your life is going to unfold. And it's going to look more like this. And that's the heartbeat, and that's the up and the down, and that's the aliyahs and the yeridas, and that's the everything, the pain, the high points and the low points, peak experiences, low experiences. But he's going to say that we want to live in peace. That's ultimately the goal, which what is peace? Of course, peace is shalom. It's also shlemus, right? So when we're living b'shlemus, we're going to be living in peace. When we're living fractured lives, when our minds are fractured from our hearts, when our being is fractured from a deeper reality, we're going to experience trouble. We're going to experience milchama. Right? So that's the frame. And then his answer is going to be the way to peace in your life is by finding the shleimus in the world, right? And by looking for that. This is back to Chachma. That's we're just moving back in that direction. Of when we can see the deeper parts of reality, so then the things on the outside shift. And he's going to take it one step forward. You'll see why I'm telling you kind of the whole thing outside beforehand, because it's like, it's a technical piece. Like, every line is packed. So I just want to make sure we know where we're going as we're going through it. He's going to take it one step forward. It's not just that when you get it right on the inside so you feel good, but that when you get to that place of being at peace and feeling good and living with God, your actual world will have a different manifestation. Things on the outside will change. You'll see more miracles. Your life will actually, there will be more order in your life. Not only will there be more order internally, but when you align internal and you get to this place of I'm beseder, your life actually starts becoming more inseder. Your life will always, the outside will reflect the inside. Which, the Nefesh HaChaim, I was going to bring it, but we'll just say it outside for now. The Nefesh HaChaim says that the degree of Ha'aras Panim that you experience in your life is always going to reflect the level of inner joy and inner peace you experience. Meaning, it's more than just a psychological word. Your actual life will have different things. Take like more will line up for you when you're in alignment with your own source energy. And when you are not, not only will you not see the opportunities as they show up, but you are actually blocking certain things from showing up in your life experience by being there. That's a whole sugya in its own right. But the reason for that setup is he's not just saying a feel-good vort. He's saying this is not just going to change your life. It's also going to change the world. That's the framework.
Okay.
Okay, let's start. He's going to come from a pasuk, right? Like with all good things, we're going to start in a pasuk. And then he doesn't bring the whole pasuk here. My apologies. I usually blot out the yud kei vav kei over here. So if you can just line down on the hays to make them kufs, which is more lechatchila, and then the hay in elokecha.
Is that okay?
Yes.
That's not called destroying the Hashem's name to make them kufs?
As far as I understood, that is not. It's more lechatchila as we make it where it's not going to end up being destroyed by somebody accidentally leaving it in their backpack and then getting destroyed mamish. But these should go into Geniza anyway, unless you're holding on to these. Yeah?
If we are holding on, do we still do?
You don't have to. If you're gonna lichatchila, make sure that everything's gonna. This is like it's a sitter. Yeah? It's now different than a sitter. So if you're gonna take care of it, great. The reason why we do that is because when you're dealing with source sheets, they don't always get taken care of. Okay. Kitetze lemilchama, right? This pasuk in the beginning of Parshas. Kitetze lemilchama al oivecha. When you go out to war against your enemy, unesano Hashem elokecha biyadecha, and Kadosh Baruch Hu puts them into your hands, v'shavisa shivyo, and you go and you take a captive, v'chulei, all the psukim discuss the sugya of the Eishes Yafes Toar, etc. So he's going to base his whole mahalach on this, and maybe just as a... Okay, now, let's just... we'll have the right dhamma, and now we'll jump in. Okay.
I'm just curious. Did they speak about why this sentence is basically like an incomplete sentence? Is that... Do people talk about it?
I mean, it continues in the next sentence.
Yeah, but this is the end of the pasuk, right?
Right.
The pasuk ends in a place where it's like, when you do this, period.
I mean, I don't know if it's really periods. I mean, it is, to a degree. It's the end of the pasuk, but it doesn't work like English grammar, right? I mean, these things, they're extended ideas.
Right, but I saw
that.
Okay.
I don't have an answer. Kitesi l'malchama. Okay. Ksiv, it says in Tehillim, Achor v'kedem tzartani. You made me, tzartani, you formed me, achor, behind, v'kedem, and in front. Okay, let's just see how your bakias is, right? Where have you guys seen this before, that pasuk?
Achor v'kedem? Brachos.
Good, brachos. Yeah, that's right.
I just figured
that
was a good guess.
No, but and I also know that most of you have learned a lot of brachos at the very least, and I assume that you had gotten to this point. Do you recall at all where?
First prayer.
You get a hint?
Huh?
The hint is Adam and Chava.
Oh, my side. How she was made from the side. This is sixth parak? No, this is ninth, last parak.
Yeah, Adam v'kedem sartani. Achar v'kedem sartani means this is the pasuk where it speaks about Adam and Chava that were born back to back and then they're split.
Oh, either right? Two faces or two.
Right, the two faces, or is it from the side, that whole sugya? Right?
Yeah.
And this is also Achar v'kedem, the medrash that famously is associated with this pasuk is we were last in creation. Right, but we are over the highest level. But achor, if you live life the wrong way, you're worse than a fly, right? And you really are the achor, you're the end. But if you elevate yourself and you live high, you're kedem. You're really, even though you were made last, you have the highest potential, right? As normally how we see this, and that's going to be the context through which we see it over here. But he's understanding there's two ways of living in this world. There's a world. There's something called achor. There's something called kedem. Yeah? You can go through life in a state of achor. You can go through life in a state of kedem, of being in front, of being... The other words you'll see in Svarim are achor, like achorayim, like the back. And instead of kedem, sometimes you see the word panim, which means from the face. Yeah? So he's going to say, ze bechinas keseder v'shelo keseder. You can understand this as kedem, forward, front, face, that is keseder, that's when things are going in order. V'shelo keseder, that's achor, when things look like chaos. They appear to be out of order. Kedem hu bechinas keseder, when things are forward, we're dealing with being in order. Bechinas aleph beis. Keseder. It's like looking at the Aleph Beis, starting from Aleph and going to Beis, Gimel, Dalet, etc. V'achar, and the other side, right? Right? You've heard of like the dark side, the other side, right? The other side, right? That's what it's called in Kabbalah, right? If you've ever seen it before, the Sitra, right? Which means the other side, the dark side. A Sitra means a tzad, a side. So achar, if you're living on the other side, Hu bechinas tashrak, right? Going backwards in the aleph base, right? Tav shin resh kuf. Shelo keseder. Things are not in order.
So that's still in order.
It is unorder, but it is not in order. But yes, you're right. And ultimately, I think if you're medayik throughout the piece, we'll see that there's a truth to the lack of order. It has like its own order.
Mm. Right.
Is it going to expand on what we really mean by order?
I think so. I hope so. Anything that you feel didn't get expounded upon, we'll open up. But the simple idea is, you ever feel like things in your life make sense? Okay. You ever feel like things in your life don't make sense? There you go. I mean, that's the push-up shot. Push-up shot is there are times in life where things appear to be in order, and there are times in life where you're like, what on earth is going on?
I feel like that would be more of like clarity and disclarity, whatever the opposite would be.
Yeah.
But that we're using that as order.
That is. Do you see the world in order, or do you see the world as not having order?
That's interesting, because I would have thought it's more just like a resonance versus dissonance, not necessarily like an order. It's things fit or they don't fit, not necessarily like, I guess you can use the word order.
Yeah, I think that's just the way he's using the word. But and what is obviously a seder means I see that there's a secret to what's going on. So the shorosh of seder is sod, right? I see that there's more to life, and like and I'm good with that. I'm in harmony with that. I'm in alignment with that. It's resolved to me. I'm not in a world of problems. I'm in a world of answers. I'm not in a world that's distracted. I'm in a world that's focused. I'm not in a world. I mean, these are all words and language that we use to describe the same thing, which is it makes sense.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. And that's both true internally and externally, which he's going to say, this is not just a psychological word. Like, sometimes in life, your life looks chaotic. Like, you look around, you're like, it's taka chaos. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I'm dealing with this, and, you know, I got a flood in my house right after a bris, and I'm like, things are shalom keseder. This is not keseder. It's not Beseder, right?
So it's all from our perspective. I mean,
yeah.
From the first perspective, everything is Seder.
Yep. Okay. Absolutely. And I think that's what Avram was hinting at. That even in the lack of order, mm-hmm. there's also order. Meaning, this is all from the world of duality. Achar v'keda means I'm actually starting here. I'm dealing with two sides. So if I'm dealing with two sides, we're always speaking mitzidenu from our vantage point. Because mm-hmm. if you go up, suddenly you go, it's all good. It's all the same to me.
It's all the same.
It was all a plug.
It's all the same thing.
My life is a plug. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. The answer is yes. Thank God. V'ze b'chinas Adam v'chava. This is an aspect of Adam and Chava, right? And of course, he's referencing the Gemara. Keseder v'shelo keseder. Not saying that women are out of order. He's actually going to say that we are Chava. But that there's an aspect of Adam, there's an aspect of Chava. Okay, what does that mean? Hashem b'milui alfin gematria ma. Right? We've seen this before. When you spell out God's name with Alephs, it gets to the gematria 45, which is ma. Adam. That's the gematria of Adam. Adam comes from the word Adama, right? The Maharal says, why is that important? Because Adama is pure potential that can be expressed. That is the aspect of man that is likened to God, pure potential that can express in the world. That's Adam.
What does that do with Ma?
Ma is potential. That's what the word Ma means. Ma means what? And everything, infinite potential to the answer to that question, which is why the word essence is from the word mahut, the whatness, right? Mm-hmm. As we spoke about. So I believe you mentioned that in your bris talk. V'chava hu b'chinas malchus peh. Chava represents malchus, the physical reality. Peh, the mouth. V'torsha bal peh. Karina La, she's a reference to Torah Shebal Peh. What he's doing here is he's creating axioms by which we can understand the Bria. So he's going to say there's Adam is going to represent a spiritual reality. It's going to represent Hashem. It's going to represent Ma. It's going to represent perfect order. And then there's Chava, who's going to represent Malchus, which is going to represent the physical reality, the Peh. Right, Malchus and Peh always go together. And he's going to explain that over here. But if you're speaking, spiritually speaking, you've got the inner reality, like all the spheros down to Yesod, right? That's going to be, he's going to say that's like Adam. And then you've got Malchus, that's Chava. Right? When we say L'shem Yichud Kutcha Brichu V'Shchinte, we want to make a connection between God and the Shekhinah, between spiritual reality and a physical reality, he's using Adam and Chava as those paradigms. Adam is going to represent Kutcha Brichu, Chava is going to represent the Shekhinah, that's why our wives always represent the Shekhinah in the world, we're going to represent Kutcha Brichu, we're trying to make a Yichud between them, that's the Shlemos, that's when everything's going to go Keseder, when you and your wife are not connecting, so then things are going to be Shalom Keseder, right? This is going to be a paradigm that's going to work in every single experience in our life.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
This is
like
the Shira
Shirin
paradigm.
Like,
yeah.
You mentioned that Adam, sorry, Chava would be Malchus.
Yeah.
Which is the bottom of the Seres.
Yeah.
So is Adam Kesser?
Adam is everything above Malchus everything in this paradigm, right? So if Malchus is physical reality, so then there's all the spiritual energy that's behind that.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to just be the easiest way to break it down. Yeah. Okay.
Which Malchus would be then what? The expression of all of the spiritual reality put into...
Exactly right. And he's about to say that. It's exactly right.
Okay.
He's going to say that's why her name is Chava. Chava has two different meanings. Chava, do we know what Chava means?
Life.
Right? Okay, good. So it comes from the word Chaya, right? Which means life. But what is a Chavaya?
Experience.
An experience, right? That's what it means. It's a life experience, which is the experience of all of the ideas that are beforehand. So if Adam represents the spiritual potential and idea, energy, Chava is the experience of that. It's the going out and having that life experience. It also means an expression, right? What's it? Yom v'yom yabia omer v'layla v'layla yichavedas. Yom v'yom yom v'yom the days yabia omer they're going to express, right? And at night layla layla yichavedas the nights are going to say their das. They're going to say over. So it's always going to be a lashon of expression. So that's going to be the nekeva over here. That's chava. He's going to speak that out. And that's why he says, that's why she's tor shebal peh. If Adam represents tor shebichsav, which is top down, chava represents tor shebal peh, which is how do I take all of that and integrate it and speak, bring it out to the world so we can all experience it. Right. So this is like, this is body and soul. Mm-hmm. This is spirit and physical reality. He's saying there. This is like at the core, at the most basic paradigm of our human existence. You're going to be able to find this everywhere, like how we kind of ended off last week with mm-hmm. these like paradigms where, oh, it all exists everywhere. But what he's saying is, right, so Adam and Chava are going to represent these two sides of spiritual energy and physical energy, and you're going to see that reflected in their names, in the way they, in what happens in their experience, which of course, what does Chava do?
It's from
the tree. She goes and she separates the fruit from the tree. Right, which is like a reflection of her as being the physical reality as separate from a spiritual reality. This is going to be a very, very fundamental piece for basically understanding the root and like the makor of what are we doing in this world. Yeah, so far so good.
This is the base that you mentioned a couple of years ago.
Or just which Chelik, you got to remind me?
I think you said, this is one, I just remember Jacob asking a question and then you went into the whole think about how the four lamos connect with the four letters of Hashem's name, and I think
yes,
Olam Bria was Chacham,
Ben,
right?
Ben, yes.
So Bez is the duality that you're representing here.
There we showed two different names, right? Is that one you're speaking about?
Yeah, I think yeah.
One had olives in it, and then one were just the reflection.
Yeah.
Did we show that? I don't remember.
My sheets at home, but
there's the base of Bereishis and the Aleph of Anochi. I don't remember which piece you're referencing.
When you drew out a whole chart,
this
drew,
thing?
So then what's the?
I don't know.
Yeah,
exactly.
You're saying the base. That's what you're saying. This piece here.
Yeah.
Yes, that's Chava.
Okay.
And that will be expressed momentarily.
You also, I mean, this could just be a matter of Erechin, and we could just answer it with that. But if it's you hear that Torah Shebal Peh is here clearly din and or the receptive, and then the Adam is Torah Shebichsav is the Chesed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But sometimes you hear that Torah Shebal Peh is Chesed and Torah Shebichsav is more Din.
Mm-hmm.
Erechin, one of those?
It depends. Yeah, that's context. That's where are we speaking and what are we speaking about.
Okay, mm-hmm. But in this context, it's the Din Malchus.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
He's saying that, he's using it and saying it, Pashut, Torah Shebal Peh, the Torah, where the mouth is in control, meaning is where I take something and I give expression to it. So I started with something that was really mitzumtzam. I took a pasuk, and then I wrote about it for 2,000 years. That's, and it's all Torah Shebal Peh.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like the complete human expression of our trying to understand and integrate the source of the Torah Shebichsav. The difference, I think the difference in understanding it is, Torah Shebichsav is chesed in that it's who it's coming from.
Mashpia.
Yeah, who it's coming from. So it's coming from directly from Hashem. It's nevuah. But what you're getting is something. What is God doing when He's giving it over? He's being metamtim something. So it ends up being more din oriented. But it's coming from the source of pure chesed. And us, who be'etzem, our job is to make things work in this world, right? We're starting here and we're going outward in that way, right? So I think it's both.
Yeah.
Just depend, what are we focusing on when we're speaking about it?
You've heard both as well, right? Not just me. Like,
Thank you. But Torah Shebal Peh is always—it's always going to be the malchus to a higher world, or it's the bina to a chachma, or the malchus to a rest of the spheres. Oh, thank God you guys missed the rain. Baruch Hashem. Okay. The Chava Lashon Dibur. Like we said, Chava comes from a language of Dibur, of speaking, which of course, Dibur, what is Dibur? Dibur comes from a language of
Davar,
right? Because I've taken an idea and I've made it concrete. I've made a thing out of it. Right? Kamosha Kasu Velaila Lalaila Yichavedas. From night to night, there's an expression of wisdom. Hainu Malchus Peh, right? Like we said. Ki malchus nikra dibur. Kingdom, malchus, is always reflected in the word of speech. Al shem ki ein melech below am. Because there is no king without a nation. Meaning, what is the definition of being a king? That's right. You're only a king if there's people that you can have a hanhaga over. If there's no people to have a hanhaga over, you might have a crown, but you are not a king. Right? So, ein melech below am. There has to be someone outside of you, a zulat, an otherness, right? Which is why malchus is always the other, it's always going to reflect some version of otherness, something separate from pure oneness, pure source. That's when we start speaking about two worlds, two realities. There's another person involved. Ve'ein ha'am yodim ritzono ela im kin kisha melech megale machshavto ritzono l'toch tiburu. And the nation doesn't know the will of the king unless the king reveals his thoughts and desires through speech. Mm-hmm. So speech is the representation of taking something internal, making it external, so that people can have a relationship with what was on the inside. That's why Dibur is always going to be a reflection of the Malchus of Hashem in the world.
It almost sounds like that's the conduit to the Malchus, not the Malchus itself. I mean, it sounds like you have your king, you have internal, and then the Dibur is that bridge that can now allow the Makabal to receive it. But you're saying the speech itself is Malchus?
Yeah.
So it's not like a bridge, it's more of like you have the king, then you have everything outside the king.
Well, it is the king, for all intents and purposes, because what if the king can't reveal what's on the inside, is there really a king?
Yeah. Why not?
There's the idea of a king. That's what he's trying to say. The hard rule is, until I can actually have that relationship, so there's a concept of a king there, but can't do anything. If the king, if there's a person who's a king,
like 2 years old,
but he's has no das, is there a king? No, there's the potential of a king down the line. Mm-hmm. I mean, he exists as potentially king, but like Lamaisa can't do anything. There's no relation. There's no potential possibility of getting to the king. He's trying to say that you can't separate the malchus from the melech. You need the malchus. Without the malchus, which is the dibur, the expression of what's going on inside, this is the idea that if God doesn't create a world, right, is there a God? The answer is, well, there's not even a you to know that there's a God. Right? That's what we're saying. Yeah? So if there's no malchus is the world. Which is how God speaks to us, which is through the world. This is the dibur. This is all the dibur of Hashem. Baruch she'amar v'haya ha'olam. This is the world. The world is the dibur of Hashem. So if there's no dibur, right, there is no ability to. So is there a God? Yes, of course there is. But it's completely potential. There's no experiential expression, connection, anything. None of that is real until there's a speech.
How come Moshe wasn't able to speak?
Because Moshe doesn't represent Malchus.
Does Aaron?
Yeah. He's closer to Malchus. Netzach Hod.
Hod.
Yes, which is one step closer to Malchus.
Oh, I thought you said they're like opposites.
Oh yeah, it depends where you're putting them, but like this.
Oh, you can put them like this?
I mean, yeah, in the line, if you're lining them up.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's Spider-Man.
I know, that's like, that's like this. You gotta,
I'm off my game.
Stay up. He'll explain more things again. These will continue to concretize as he continues to express his stream of thought here. Nimtza she'ikr hanhagas malchuso ela al yedei dibur. The ikr hanhaga, which you're going to see throughout Tanakh, the word dibur and davar and daber, the other word, it means hanhaga, right? To be manhig something. A madber is a manhig, right? It comes up throughout Tanakh. So there's this, it's a language of hanhaga, it's a language of guidance and relationship to something outside of it. V'zeh perush malchus peh, and that's why malchus is connected to the word peh, right? If you see the mouth come up in Torah, it's always going to be connected to the midah of malchus. That's what the mouth, right? What does peh mean? What is that? Here. It's not up there. It's not an idea. It's here.
Right.
It's Malchus. Cool. It's Peh. It's Poh.
So when we think about Malchus, just to kind of hone in, is that we're always just thinking about Malchus as, for all intents and purposes, physical reality.
Mm-hmm.
And the expression of whatever's above it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Maybe there's an aspect of Peh by Moshe. We say Peh or Peh Adabar, right? Is that referring to Malchus over there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but again, it's his ability to connect to the Malchus up there. Obviously, there are levels and levels, right? So, but when and how does he speak to Hashem? Panim el panim.
Mm.
That's the ikar. He is a panim. That's this. It's kedem. It's all kedem with Moshe. Mm. That's why his mouth is the thing that is obscured in his relationship to life, because he's here. He's much more not Chava. He's almost Kulo Adam, right? He's like, he's Ma, right? That's what we were speaking of. He's like so up there that this world, he ultimately has to get separated from his wife, right? Like he's so not connected to this world. Huh? Das.
Is that?
Netzach. Lots. But those are the ones you're going to see. And Yesod Abba, which is a Bechina of Chachma. Vezesh Anu Roim. So this is now how we see Shelefa'amim Holech Leha Adam Shelo Kaseder. That's why sometimes we see that a person's life seems to be in disorder. There seems to be some dysfunction in their life. Ki Shlemus Kol HaChel Kol HaDvarim Eino Ela Kesheheim Miyucharim UMekusharim Bo Yisparach. The Shlemus of all things only exists when they're connected to God. Right? Ki hashleimus, because wholeness, v'hamilui, and a life that's filled, hu hachius, that is the energy of all that is. Right? When you want to live a life that has chius, that has energy, that has power, that has movement in it, it has to be a life that is connected to shleimus and milui. Something that has, milui means something fills the space. So you, if you consider malchus as like a shell, it's like the kli, right? Because it's the kli. What keeps it alive is the energy of that thing. So if you put something in fire and the fire consumes all the energy that's left in the wood, so whatever the kli was, which was the branch, it disappears. It's done. Because you've taken out all the energy that's inside of it. So it can't exist anymore. Yeah?
MC squared.
Huh?
That's E equals MC squared, no?
Right, yeah. Exactly. So you've moved the energy out of the matter and brought it back to energy,
right.
And now it's gone, so it disappears. So he says the same thing with your life. Your life has potential energy in it if you're connecting to the energy and connecting to the God source that's in all experiences in all places. So you're connecting to the shlemus of the thing, not just to the kli itself, not just to the outside. You're connecting to the inside of that thing, and he says when that's happening, says life is going to be keseder, because you're connecting to the shorsh of what it is, and at the shorsh, there's only seder there. If you're connecting to the God in another person, to the godliness in life, to the goodness, that's the expressed intent of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, is that we should find that goodness that exists within the world. So no matter where you go, you're going to be like, it's peseder. Literally, it is peseder. It's keseder. Kadosh Baruch Hu is there. It's working out. Things are moving in the right direction. I'm supposed to learn something. This is a reminder for me. This is an opportunity for me. No matter what's happening, you're always going to connect back to a world of seder, right? But when dysfunction happens and you see it and you say, my life is in disorder. My life is dysfunctional. Things aren't working. I'm complaining. I'm so upset. Why did I this? Why did I that? All of this, you know, the kashas and the complaints on life, which is you're standing in resistance to what's happening. It's because you're not connecting to what's on the inside of something. You're not connecting to the milui, that which fills the world. You're only stuck on the surface level. That is a face of a question.
Yeah.
Let's go a little more and then we'll come to the question. Yeah. Ki ever shenistalak mimenu achius, if you take the energy, the chius, the life force out of a limb, azai nikra chisaron, then you're going to say there's a lacking there, which again he's going to say that people who live with scarcity and a world of lack are people who are not seeing the shlemus, not seeing the inside. V'hachius hi hamochin v'haseichel. It's like every line he's introducing a very, very big and massive Kabbalistic concept. So I know that's why we're going a bit slower. But he's over here saying, now, the chius, when I say that everything has energy in it, what I mean to say is that everything has mochin, which sometimes we'll call seichel, Right? Mochin means the spiritual shefa, the spiritual energy, tzura, the clarity. So if you're like Maral's tzura.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like giving the purpose.
Adam is tzura, Chava is chomer.
Yeah, yeah.
In this, yeah.
It's like a brain, like a moch.
So moch is a brain. Mochin, right, is the energy that fills you with clarity. That's what mochin are. When you put on tefillin in the morning and you, like the Arizal says, one of the reasons why you put on tefillin on your head and on your heart is so that you draw down the spiritual energy to feel connected and have that clarity that comes into your new day, right? You draw down mochin. Mochin is... like if you heard of mochin de katnus, mochin de gadlus, mochin de katnus is a mind that sees a narrow perspective, small-mindedness. Mochin de gadlus, which is what he's referencing here, mochin, right, is mochin. When he's saying mochin, he's referencing mochin de gadlus specifically, because mochin expanded consciousness, expanded das, expanded open. Perspective, open-mindedness, a clarity, a depth.
So Chava is not chius here, just to be clear. It's
that's right. Chava over here. That's what he's telling you. Chava really means expression. It's not the chius. She's the aim kol chai.
Right.
But she's Chava. She's dibur. She's chavaya. She's the experience of something. It's going to be the outer layer. So. And also, if you have an outer experience, you go and you have to do the dishes, and you have no inner connection to what's going on there, you feel chaser, you feel chisaron. That's how you're going to feel when you're in the world, and you don't know why you're doing what you're doing. You're not connected to God in the process. So the same way that a limb without chius is chaser and dies, you walk around life feeling dead. That's basically what he's trying to say, is when you're not connected to the chiyus inside, which expresses itself as as mochin in you, as your clarity and your perspective and your level of consciousness, as you go through life, you're going to feel chaser, you're going to feel like life is shalok haseder, you're going to feel life's not fair, you're going to feel things aren't going my way, you're going to feel like life is in disorder, you're going to feel like I'm lacking, there's not enough, the world is scarce, I have to fend for myself, right? That's all on one side. And whereas if you had the chiyus and you were connected to what energizes life on the other side, you feel shalom, you feel milu, you feel like a ben adam, you feel like an adam, right? Like you're a person in this world. Yeah.
As a suggestion, this sort of slips my mind. This is all within the world of chachma. Meaning, like, you're doing the dishes and you're not connecting to the shoresh of what you're actually doing, then you're going to feel chaser, you're going to feel lack, you're going to feel lovesay.
Mm-hmm.
And when you are, then you're going to feel the same, right? So, beautiful. But, like, how? And I just want to know if there's a way, maybe as a hemshach, I don't know if you're planning on doing it or whatever it is, but what's the lemaisa, how to integrate this actually in? Because it's a beautiful idea, and it's a fundamental idea, but then how do we actually... Yeah,
great. Thank you. Right, Kamosha Kasuv, like it says in the Pasuk in Koheles, V'hachachma techaya. I wanted to do this for you guys, and I apologize that I didn't. And I wanted to do this literally from the very first shir that we did, which was take the like five or six most commonly used psukim that reflect the word chachma, because they come up in every sefer all the time. But chachma techaya is ba'alea, chachma me'ayin timtza, reishis chachma yiras Hashem. Right, there's several psukim that tell you the core about what chachma is all about. Right. And I apologize, I haven't done that, but I'll try to do that next time, Bli Neder. It'll almost be like a good sikkum of like, right? See, everything we've ever learned are in these five or six psukim.
Cool.
Yeah, it's really good. So this is one that comes up everywhere. Chachma is always going to reflect chiyus, right? Like the pasuk in Kohelet says, ha chachma techaya, right? Chachma, when you're connected to the koach ma of something, to the essential energy of what something is, techaya, it brings you to a... enlivened state, right? Like the other pasuk that comes up a lot is Chachmas Adam Ta'ir Panav. The Chachma in a person makes his face shine, right? You're really more alive when you're connected to a depth in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And like we said, we've already learned this many times, V'ha Chachma hi b'chinas ma, right? Koach ma. Ma chayenu, Ma kochenu. Right? He's saying, don't think that when you say in the morning, ma chayenu, ma chasdenu, ma kochenu, ma, we say that a lot. He said, it's not just saying, oh, wow, what is our life? What is our power? God, it's all you. He's saying, no, you read it as ma kochenu, ma gvuraseinu, ma nor, like, yeah. Right? He's like, that's what makes us powerful, what makes us have chiyus, what makes us everything, the ma inside of us. So when we connect, the God in us is what gives us that, which is another way of saying, it's not us, it's you. You say, oh, it's not this, it's that. It's what flows through this whole thing. That's what gives any koach to anything I do. It's not me. I don't get stuck in the shell. When you get stuck in the shell, you make your life a man-made hell, right? That's like the vision of, he's saying, you can't get stuck on the outside, which is why, and what's the problem? A shell is the perfect mushel, which is why, what do you call the dark side in Lashon HaKodesh?
When, Acher.
Yeah, that's one way, right? Klipa, right? Is a shell. Right? It's when that's when right. So a klipa is when you get caught on the shell of things and you don't go to the truth that's on the inside, so you're not going to have chiyus. You're going to feel chisar and you're going to feel disconnected from everything in your life. Umahu Adam, like we said, ma is Adam, kileis Adam below Aleph. There's no Adam without the Aleph, right? Which of course, on one level, what he means by that is, if you take the Aleph off of Adam, you're left with Dam, which is just the physical. So there's the spiritual, which is the Aleph. The Dam is the physical. Hainu Hashem b'milui alfin, which we said earlier, that's like you're connecting to God that has all the Alephs in it. That's the reason why the name of God that reflects this inner part of us is the one that fills in with all the Alephs. I don't know if you were here, Mike, when we went through all the inner workings of the name. We can write it down afterwards if there's time. Yeah. Hainu HaKadosh Baruch, and he's just going to say it. Hainu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chiyus Shekol HaDvarim. God is the energy of the world. Yes? Kamosha Kasuv, it says it. It's a pasuk. Ve'ata Machaya Es Kulam. You are the energy of the world. You're the energy of everything. You're Machaya everything. Kulam, everything. Nothing's missing. Nimtza Zos HaBachina Malchus. That comes out that this physical reality, this malchus, this chava, kishahi mikusheris la'adam, when chava connects to Adam, lebechinas ma, to the world of ma, hainu l'kadosh baruch hu, meaning when you connect everything back to God, azai yesh la'shleimus. When I experience the world as being the energy of God manifest, I experience wholeness, oneness, shleimus. I experience that life has order to it. Ki haseichel shekadosh baruch hu sam b'hanhagas malchuso, because the intention, the energy that God puts into the world, b'zehu mechaya osa, that's how God gives energy to everything. Kamo shekasov hachachma techaya, like we said, chachma is that which energizes and puts chiyus in the whole world. Right, the other place you see this is, you have your chart that we did.
It's really janky, but yes. It's my, because of me, not because of you.
Because I made it janky.
No, I was just trying to copy it really quickly.
Did we do it in here? We did it a little bit. No. I'll have to do it another time for you. Okay. I didn't put it in that chart for you. I apologize.
It's okay.
So we know there's nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya, yechida. Right? So nefesh is always going to be, that's malchus. Right? Ruach is...
The
vav, good, right? It's the vav, which means it is, in terms of spheros.
The connection. I'm thinking the vav is in the six spheros.
Good, the six spheros. Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzachot, Yisod, right? That's your ruach. Mm-hmm. It's the middle section. Your neshama,
bina.
Your chaya. Your chaya is chachma, right? And then Keser is Yechida. Chachma and Chaya, right? That's he's trying to make this point over and over again, that connecting to the world of Chachma, Chachma to Chaya, he's doing everything he can to cover up every piece of Kabbalistic knowledge that he has by putting it into Psukim, by putting it into here. He's saying that, like, there's a part of you that's the energy of your life, the Chaya. The Chaya is the part that energizes the Neshama. You know what I mean? It's like, it's very high. He's like, that's when you're living connected to a world of chachma, of kochma, a world of like more consciousness of presence, which we're going to talk about the how. Don't worry, we'll get there. But I'm just trying to set it up so you see that he's saying all of life is this. Right, and this is what we're working towards. Yeah.
We were just grouped. Sometimes people just group neshama as chaya yichid and neshama.
Yep.
But if you're breaking it down, then you have chokhmah is actually chaya.
Yep.
Right.
Can you say those again? You said malchus.
Nefesh.
Nefesh.
Right.
And the six,
Shabbos is.
Malchus.
Okay. Right. What do you? The, Shabbos malchus. Right. Shabbos via nefesh.
So, but then ruach, which I assumed was. The whole emotional side. See, those are the middle spheres.
They're going to be called the midos. Yeah, midos. Those are the midos.
Okay. Everything below Chokhmah Bina.
Chesed, exactly. Okay. Everything from Chesed to Yesod. Those are all the midos, all the things inside of you.
Right. And then you're saying that, not you, but everybody in the Torah and you, the
Shema
is not all of the Melchin or whatever you call those, Chokhmah Bina.
So if you simplify and we're only speaking about Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama,
mm-hmm.
then yes, Neshama is all of them because I'm using Neshama to reference all of them. But if we expand and we say, oh, double click Neshama, is it just Neshama? And we go, oh, it's Neshama Chaya Yechida, right? That's what exists there. Those are the Melchin.
It's fine. So right? Neshama would be
Bina.
What?
Because it's what comes before Chesed.
Before Chesed? Din?
No, before Chesed.
Oh, in the... I don't know, I have to get it down.
Exactly. Keser, Chachma, Bina, and then Chesed, Vor, Tiferes.
That's fine.
Right? So that's the next level up, is connecting to a world that's beyond simple emotion. It's the beginning of consciousness.
Bina.
Yeah.
Okay, so Bina is the lowest of the consciousness?
Language is useful when it's useful and not when it's not.
Right. We'll say, but Bina, like out of the ones that we're dealing with now, Bina you could say is on the lowest rung, whatever that might be.
Well, the neshama, to ever say the neshama is low is hard, but yes, it's lower than the chaya, which is lower than yichida.
Right, chaya is chachma,
and yichida is keser.
So where's das?
Wait, it doesn't work.
Okay, fine.
No.
It's like a good middle one, right?
It's a good question, but das is the energy that flows through the whole thing.
Right, it's like in the middle, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's
das, you said, like, is an alternative to keser?
Expression of keser?
It's a sugya. It's a real sugya, and not gonna do that right now.
Okay.
But it is not in that paradigm that we just said.
Right.
It's all of it.
And the Margaret Father she's saying is that the chia is connected to chachma, and that's that.
It's a reflection of that same bechina. What that means practically for us is when you see a world and you look at, you're experiencing the essence of things. So you're present. You're in the moment. You're not getting caught up in mental constructs of the past and the future. You're not in a world where you're not a pessimist. You're not a realist in such a way that it blocks you off from a deeper reality. Like when you're really living that way, which is like living with this world of chachma, which real chachma is, I sense life is meaningful, purposeful, intentional, good, all of that which we've been describing for the last couple months. That's like you're touching on the world of chaya in you, which chaya is an energy that surrounds you. Like it goes in, but then surrounds. It's a little complex in that regard. But like the neshama is in you, right? Okay, too much.
It's the highest
Hashem in the world and also surrounding you.
Yeah.
Is it the highest? So we're saying it's the lowest. It's the highest part that's inside of you, but the chaya and yichid are outside of you. So it's the lowest part of what's not out. Because it's still also connected to that. So it's the lowest part of what's outside and the highest part of what's inside.
When I said outside, I meant of literally the body. Because it's still you. You can't say it's not you. It's you.
The neshama.
And the chaya and the yichid.
Oh,
it's still
okay.
You. It's just not literally in the guf.
In the glass blower. In that life.
Thanks, Jewish meditation. Baruch Hashem. It's a good mushroom. Okay.
That's inner space, right?
I think it's in Jewish meditation, right? Oh, is it in inner space?
It's in both.
It's in both? Yeah. Okay. Where are we? Okay. Vizeh. LaHashem ha'aretz u'mloa. There's a pasuk that says, God is for the world and all that it and all that is in it, and he's going to make a drush on the words, and he's going to say, Keshe ha'aretz, when the world, hainu b'chinas chava, malchus, this whole aspect we've been describing, chava, malchus, mikusheris LaHashem, when Hashem is to the aretz, right, when there's a connection between your life and the inner world, the inner reality that's behind it, azai hu bimloa ubishlemus. That's when you're going to experience the world as being complete and being whole.
That's when there's no questions, right?
Yeah.
It's like only answers.
Mm-hmm. Umisha mechalek bechinas chava malchus la'atzmo. Now he's going to get into our life and our troubles and the war that we fight. One that separates this aspect of Chava and Malchus and says, no, it's la'atzmo, it's la'atzmi, it's just me. This is now an ego consciousness. She'omer, and he says, Ana emloch, I am the king. I will be king. I will be the melech. Which is the language of the Yetzer Hara, the language of the ego.
That's her eating from the Yetzer Das.
Mm-hmm. Which is exactly what did we do with the Yetzer Das? We separated the fruit from the tree and said, this is for me. That is the reflection. What happens when you take a fruit off a tree?
It dies.
It dies. That's what it means, that now death comes to the world, because we took the aleph off the MS, and then what you're left is with mace.
Nice.
Right? So when you pull the body away from the soul, when you pull a person away from their tachlis, when you pull a person's perspective away from a good reality, we get 6,000 years of fun. Ana emloch, when a person thinks Ana emloch, which Ana, this is what I was telling you earlier, Aaron, Ana is gematria
52,
which is Ben, it's that lower part, it's the Ana, it's the Ani, it's the thing that says me, right?
That's 52 has like a big significance now. Like,
yeah,
it's
live
till 52 or something.
Bezeh, when you do that, who mechalek, you separate, umafrid, and you separate, osa me'akadosh baruch hu, you separate the world from God, azai eina b'shlemos, and all of a sudden, the world will not be shalem. And there's going to be literal catastrophes, and literal wars, and literal problems, as well as inner turmoil. Because your inner world's going to always reflect itself in the outer world, and if you aren't living with God, with an inner energy to the world, with a deeper level of connection to Source, then the world isn't going to reflect that either. Yeah?
I was just saying, like, let's say you're in a state of shalemis, but, like, you are literally in a war. There are going catastrophes and terrible things going on. How are you able to connect the two? Like, you're in a state of shalemis, but, like, there's all these things going on. It's, like, just the mere fact that you can recognize that this, too, comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You see the war itself in the state of shalemis.
There's going to be micro and macro. Right, so the world is going to go in these waves, and individuals are going to go in those waves. So you're going to have individuals who are the shlemos at a time of shalo kaseder, because the collective consciousness is not, right? And so one person's ability to see the world the right way doesn't necessarily change the entire planet all at one shot, because it's yours and then everybody else on the planet's perspective on something, right? If everybody elevated at the same time, then yes, the world wars would end immediately. If we can get all the leaders to agree on this at the same time, boom, it's over. It's over. That's what Mashiach does. Right? That's what's supposed to happen. And then there are other times where everything's going fine, but you got a person with the bad perspective, right? Like, I, by and large, is this generation. The world is great. We're living in more plenty than ever before in human history. The fact that people still complain about things is unbelievable. But we're not there yet. So you can have macro, everything's going fine, and micro, people are getting it wrong. And you can have macro, it looks terrible, but you have in the small, people getting it right. But a person who's living like that, they're going to experience more of the joy and more of the shlemos in their life than a person who doesn't have that. Like, without question.
Okay,
now we'll finish. Yeah. Ki ikr chiyusa ma, the ikr chiyus is connecting to this world of ma, hainu ha-seichel, which is the seichel, like we said, it's the chachma, she-bechol davar, v'zeh ki bechol chachme egoim, v'chol malchusim me'ein kamocha. Right? This is a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. It says, you know, if you look at all the malchiyus in the world, nothing's like Hashem. Perush, sichlam ein kol kach gadol l'hachayos es malchusim. The seichel of the kings of the world is not as powerful as the seichel of God in its ability to bring chiyus to their malchus. U'keshehu mechalek es malchus la'atzmo, when a person does say, I'm in charge of my world, I have to make things happen, I'm going to be, it's all on me. Right? It's me, the Ana Emloch. I'm the king of my life. I make everything happen. Azai hu holech shalo kaseder. You're going to live in a world that's lacking order. Ki hu betoch bechina shelo kaseder, because you're living in a world of shelo kaseder. That's where you're living. Hainu malchus chava tashrak. You've said this is separate to itself. It does not need to have any sort of inner meaning. It does not need to have a connection to Hashem. It does not need to have a connection to a spiritual life.
And here when it says malchus and chava, it's obviously malchus and chava are independent realities that we need. So it's saying cut off from
other. That's right. If you say just me, just malchus, just chava,
right,
then we end up in what we're working through. Ukeshazos habachina chava hi mekusheres la ha'adam, but when you could connect it back to its source, hainu la kadosh baruch hu, meaning connect everything back to God, azai holich lo kaseder, your life will start to turn around. Ki ba'asr de'es dachar nukba lo itkar taman. He's quoting a Zohar that says, in a place where there's a zachar, the nekeva is not mentioned there. What he means to say is, when you get to a place where you realize there's a flow from above, you stop identifying with the manifestations below as being the end-all and be-all, as being all that matters. Nimtza ki b'chinos chava shelo keseder nisbatlim al yedei ha'adam keseder. The aspects of chava which are shelo keseder will not be shelo keseder anymore because they're connected to Adam, to the inner world, which is keseder. So, people have this thought, which is a wrong thought, that says, oh, so I just need to be spiritual and I don't need to be connected to Chava, Malchus, Peh, all that. And let me just read the Tanakh. I don't need to learn Torah Shabbat Peh. Let me just do the holy side. And it's like, that's not what he's saying. He's not saying, oh, leave Chava and just be Adam. Leave the body, just be soul. He's saying, no, if you just run after this world without having it being a direct flow from your source, so you're going to end up with problems. But to run back to source and not be in this world is akin to suicide. You don't want to leave the world. We want to be in the world, but be a hemshech of a flow. And in that moment, Chava, as being a separate entity, goes, ah, it's not about me. I'm a channel. And as soon as you realize you're a channel for Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch in the world, your whole life starts to go keseder. Things turn around.
Which is David, right?
Huh?
Which is David. This Mashiach. And he's like rectifying what Chava, the misuse of Malchus, because he is the ultimate Malchus that is connecting back to Adam and Chius.
That's why his name is David, right? Dal. Right? David. The word Dalid means
poor.
Poor.
So he's poor and poor, meaning like he totally doesn't see anything of himself. There's no ego. Nothing. It's not about me at all.
Mm-hmm. That's a pure child.
Moshe
Dalid.
Yeah, thank you. I was having a conversation on Shabbos. We said David has to do with Dod. I heard that somewhere, Dod meaning like breast. What does that have to do with, where is that from? Is that anything, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure it's a thing. I'm not familiar.
I heard somewhere. I just don't know. Okay.
I'm sure it is. It sounds right, but I don't know. Okay. Let's just see. How are we doing? I didn't bring up my clock, but I want to make sure you guys are okay. You want to continue the piece?
Kidding? I can't cut it off.
Cut it off from the tree of
life. Ubechinas keseder nikra yud, right? Which we said, right, chachma is yud, right? So when you're going keseder, it's because you're connected to a yud. What did we say yud was? Malchus nikra dalid, we just said this. Malchus is the dalid. Leis lamigar maklum, it has nothing of its own self. It's the kli, right? V'kadosh baruch hu, and God, mamshich lachius, meaning hachachma, God brings down the energy of chachma, hanikra yud, which is called a yud, down to the dalid. That's why, how do you spell yud? Yud, vav, dalid. Energy connecting down to the physical world, right? That's what the essence of Chachma is. What's the tachlis of Chachma? Tshuva Maisim Tovim, right? We saw this in the Gemara Brachos. The tachlis of Chachma is to come out and to reflect into the world. That's where it's going. So it starts, and that's what we said, Yud has three parts to it. The top of the Yud, the center of the Yud, the bottom of the Yud. That's how you spell Yud. Yud, which is the top that connects it up to source. The Vav, which is what brings it down. And then the Dalid, which is the thing down here. That's what a yud is.
We didn't do that yet.
That's
cool.
Yeah. But why is the thing? Oh, just the bottom is...
The bottom is what goes out to the world. Uh-huh. So it's your connection to source, the essence of the energy, and then how it comes out into the world, and that is expressed in how you spell yud. Yud, which is the smallest part that connects up. The vav is how you draw that down. And then the dalet is where it's going. Right? That's what the yud is.
Sorry, when it says hanikra yud, what is called yud?
Chachma.
Chachma, where do we see that? Where is that? Why is chachma yud?
This is the first letter of Shem Hashem, is the Yod, which is Chachma. We did that a couple of shirim ago. Sorry, but that is Yod is the thing that's, it's not connected to the ground.
Right?
It's the inner point of all life.
Right. So then, if that's Yod, then we just broke it down to not being the inner point of all life.
We're saying that it's a flow. It is a flow that's connected to source as it comes down and into the rest of reality.
So yud itself comes down to the rest of
reality. The hey is an expression of the yud into a dalet. What is a hey? It's a little yud in a dalet because I've now taken the yud and I've went, it's a
dalet. No, what I'm saying is that the yud, we just spelled out yud as yud vav dalet.
Right, because that's what the yud is doing. It's showing you that's the flow of a yud.
That's its like...
That's its essence. Right, that's what he's saying. The malchus is the dalet. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's in Mamshech L'chius all the way down into the world, right? So when you're living with this perspective, right? Which Yud, what we're Yidden, right? And that's what we're supposed to be. But what is a Yud, right? Right? Yud comes from the word like Yoda, like Yoda, not Star Wars Yoda, but it's a deep awareness of pure godliness. That's what it is.
Oh.
Right? Look. Okay. V'kedem tzartani. That's why in the same pasuk that says, I can see the world from the front or from the back, v'tashes alai kapecha, and God put his hand upon me, al tirkei kapecha, don't say God places hand on me, ela kafecha, rather God put his cuff on me, hainu yud, which is gematria cuff.
Mm.
Right? Making a little drasha there. That that's like the blessing we're asking for is that we see the world through this lens of chachma. We see a world through a lens of essence and not the story of a reality as disconnected from its source. Ah, ukeshemachalek es adalad la'atzmo. But if you were to separate the dalet to itself, it's not connected to the yid. Umamshech la'atzmo chiyus mimenu, and you're trying to draw energy in your life from the dalet. Meaning, the right way to live this world is you're in the dalet and you're drawing energy from the yud. So the yud is going to connect all the way down to the dalet. You go, this is great. But what happens if you put the dalet at the top? You put yourself at the top, and you're trying to draw energy from your power, right? He's going to say, Az nasis lo shelo kaseder. You flip the order, and you've made it divai. Instead of yud, yud vav dalet, you've made it divai. Mi yud nasa divai, which divai means...
Enough?
No, not that's die. Divai means
it's like plague, right?
Pain, sorrow.
Really?
Yeah. Vezeh v'kol lev of divai, and all the hearts will be in sorrow, all the hearts will be in pain. You've turned it all around. Because when you live life not in alignment with truth, that's shalo keseder, not in the right order, zelo machle slave, that's going to cause you emotional distress. You're going to live an emotional breakdown because you think you're in charge of everything. You think the source of all the power in your life is from your body and from your ego identity and from your personality as opposed to having anything beyond this world. You think that everything is just from the physical as opposed from the non-physical parts of your being. Yeah.
What does that practically look like if you're connected to the yud at the end of the day? Like meaning to say now you're starting with yourself and then you're like bringing it up to
You're not bringing shell. It up. You're trying to bring energy from yourself. That the yud over here is going to represent energy and you're trying to draw energy out of the dalet. And that's going
to be taking Hashem out of the picture?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, there's
the
no...
Yud is not
the yud is not okay. Hashem over here. The yud okay. is representing it's energy that you're right. trying to draw out of yourself.
Ah.
As opposed to living as a self and you're drawing down energy from God. Here.
Is this right? Why Adam sinned too? He followed... He had to like follow Chava. He had to bring the yud after the dalet. So once it left, he's like, I got to go now too. But he shouldn't have. Should he have? It seems from this, he should have. Because he had to... Yud had to go there. How else... Otherwise, she would have been yudless.
Not going to the
but it's okay.
Yeah. There's some halakha I saw somewhere that said, like, yeah, he was supposed to, like, let her die. like, yeah, you messed up. God will make another
bye.
One.
Bye.
Oh, okay. Oh, fine, fine.
Right. But it could be that he could have been metaken it if he turned to Kodesh Baruch Hu and Dav and said, oh, she didn't know, let's put it back. Like, I mean, there's a lot of scenarios of what it could be, but I don't like to ask the should question by the Chet of Adam Rishon, because what should have happened, exactly what happened.
Yes, sure.
Right, like, yeah. That was the setup. And yeah. Like, you can't, it's too high to ask Akasha on it. It's there for us to learn from it as we go forward.
Okay.
Is this the exact same setup as Nega and Oneg?
Yeah.
Same thing?
Yep. I mean, it has slightly different meanings, because that's speaking about Keser, and over here speaking about Chachma. But it works the same way.
I mean, yeah.
Is this like a general thing that applies to, I guess, words or concepts that you flip a word around and it becomes the opposite representation? Or
sometimes. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say it as a general rule, but sometimes.
It is the same thing.
Right. Yeah,
palindromes have their own meaning in Torah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay. This is or Yashar or Chozer. Kamosha Kasuv, like it says in the Pasuk, Tocheles Mimushacha, you draw down this feeling of sickness. Your life becomes a diseased life, diseased life, when you are not connected to what's on the inside. That's what he's trying to say, right? His big vision is... instead of living keseder, knowing that the source of all the energy of you and all the energy of your life is coming from a God that put seichel into the world, that's manning the world kedin, that's making everything work the right way, where there's a secret to the olam, where everything's... Right? Instead of that, if it's starting with Yavan, which is where this conversation started, right? And I just see the outer world of Chachma, I just see the physical reality, you're going to end up in a lot of pain. This is like most people who don't live with any sort of spiritual truth have to live with a deep existential pain throughout their entire life. You can't walk away from that.
Yeah.
And when you make a mistake, it's forever. When somebody dies, it's forever. When things go... Like, basically, the world is just painful with, like, you know, pleasure points along the way. This way is the opposite. The world is great, and there are pain points along the way. There's two ways of going through this life. Does your life have pain points or pleasure points?
If this is the meter, I mean, this is like the blinds, either open or close them.
Mm-hmm.
People who, I mean, I don't know if we can say this as a call, but people who are religious and who do live a life of Torah and who have these ideas, obviously there's something going off where the blinds aren't open. Is this the reason? I mean, they're looking at the chitzon. I mean, you can have a Talmud Chacham
who's
aware of the opinion.
That's right, but nobody taught him how to go into it.
That's what Rabbi Yaakov Hill spoke about the other day.
Yeah. What did he say?
Basically this idea that like you can just... The reason when they were not saying a bracha on the Torah, it meant that they weren't learning Torah to actually just learn Torah. The actual like amkus of learning and that being an end in its own right. That's what you can say a bracha on Torah.
Aloske. Aloske, like the first bracha, right? Like Rabbi Yehuda says that the whole point is because we do it because it's a mitzvah. Not just the pleasantness.
Or what comes out, how are you going
to
use it.
Right.
Just to talk about that point, that you know, you're saying that people have existential crises when they're like, okay, that's the end all, that's the be all. But you have a Talmud Chacham who knows that it's not the end all, be all. He knows intellectually that it's not that. Right? He knows that there's a God, and he knows there's a spirituality. And I'm saying, obviously, not everybody who has a beard and pays, but like you have a Talmud Chacham who has an existential crisis, or who really is, what's going on there?
It's the same thing.
But it's not like he knows that there's an Olam Haba.
He knows.
Or you're saying he doesn't live it.
Doesn't know. He knows.
Yeah.
Doesn't know.
Okay.
So there's work to do.
Sure.
And that's what we're doing here.
Right. Gap in that bridge.
Ukishiroa Adam Ba'atzmo Shaholech Lo Kishilo Kaseder. One of the ways you can identify if you are not in alignment is if there's lots of dysfunction showing up in your life. He's saying when a person sees that shaholich lo, shalo kaseder, that it's going for him things that are not kaseder, yedesh yesh lo godless, you should know that on some level, when he says godless over here, he doesn't mean the way that we would use it today, which is like a good thing. He's saying gaiva, right? You have to know that there's some ego there. There's godless, something inside of you that thinks that you're the melech, right? So sometimes things show up in our reality from... as a reflection of that ego, Hainu Ana Emloch, there's something that thinks that I'm the king. Ya'aseh tshuva v'yashpel es atzmo. When those things happen, those are opportunities for you to say, ah, I have to go deeper inside myself. I have to turn towards my inner being. I have to bring down my ego and the part of me that is over-identified with the physical world. V'yiyeh b'chinas ma, and you reconnect to the ma inside of you. Make sure that ma is there. You can never get rid of the malchus and the chava. So long as you're alive and you're in this world, you have a body and you have a personality. Right? You can't get rid of that. The question is, how much are you letting the real inner you shine through, which is an aspect of the God force, right? Shining through you, the way you see the world, everything. That's what presence means. We talk about being present, which is that it's going to be part of the answer on how you get there, which is really getting into the now, getting into the present moment, being very open-minded to life as it unfolds, right? And not being rigid in your thinking. The rigidity is resistance to life. Non-resistance to life, allowing life to unfold, is the experience of what emuna tastes like. So emuna as an idea is, I believe in God, I believe everything's okay. When something goes wrong, you're like, what's going on? So in that moment, when you're all upset and angry, that there's a thought that's in resistance to life and saying, this shouldn't be happening. This shouldn't be happening, but it's happening. And if it's happening, isn't that from God? But you feeling this shouldn't be happening is another way of saying, I am king. I am king. Who are you to say this shouldn't be happening? If you're thinking this shouldn't happen, you think you're the king. You think you're in charge. You think you know better, right?
It's all the same to me.
That's the definition. Let's just finish the sentence. Yeah. Moshe Kosov, that's what made Moshe and Aaron so great. They said, V'nachnu ma, we are ma. We are what? We're not looking at our egos. We only are trying to experience ourselves as being a channel and a flow of a deeper world. When you do that, you reconnect the chava in you to the adam in you, the person in you to the soul in you, the bechinas ma to the part that is essential. Vinasa kaseder, when you do that, you make everything go kaseder again. Hainu achar v'kedem kapecha hainu yud, like we said till now. So far, so good.
That meditation that you were just describing, that's why
meditation is so powerful, because when you do that, you let go of the resistant thought that is buried in our minds, and you create more space, and you create more space, and then you can go forward, and you're not as stuck. You become malleable, which allows you to be more allowing, which allows you to taste the experience of what emuna as a thought feels like, which is what happens when you are in concert, you're working in concert with life. And that's what it means to live with Hashem, is you're not struggling against God. You're working to move with, you're yielding with life. You know, it's a very powerful way to walk through the world. That's why Moshe gets in trouble for doing one thing. He gets angry because then Hashem says, you got angry? Didn't have emunah. You weren't in flow. One time, too big. But that's what it was. Maharal says it's because he wasn't happy in that moment. If he were happy, he wouldn't have lost his emuna, and he would have never gotten angry. Yeah.
Gory.
Yeah. Which he says is a reflection of Yudvekus to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what this momentum is, right? Being in flow.
And they call ma to them. It's just like the reality, whatever language they use to describe the present. That's really them describing the ma, the God.
Yeah.
As much as they can.
Yeah.
Even from a totally scientific.
Yep.
But that's like trying to see, there is, just don't resist it. There's something. We don't know what it is, but there's something guiding it we have to get in touch with.
Right.
And the response that people say, which is what Rabbi was speaking about before, which is that to think there's a bigger purpose, it's like, oh, like, no, you want to believe it because it makes you feel better. But like, I want MS. What is that Yitzhahara that tells you that the shell without the ma is the MS? Like that, yeah, people, I just want the truth. I'm a truth seeker. I mean, it's literally the exact opposite.
They're a masticist.
What? What is that? Sorry?
I said they're a masticist. They love pain.
Oh.
Masochist. They're masochists.
Like all these pure sciencey guys who are around, it's like the MS seekers living without any of it are really just
masochists. No, I'm kidding. I don't mean that.
Like, I want the pain. No, it's pain and it's just pain and there's no purpose because I'm a truth. But it's, what is that Yitzhahara?
It's you're in control. You have a mouth. That's it.
It's Yavan. Yavan, if I don't understand it, it's not real.
Bringing the youth down.
If I don't understand it, it's not real. It's Yavan. I keep just going thinking of Neil deGrasse Tyson, Stephen Hawking. That they're brilliant. They're brilliant. They're so brilliant that they can't see beyond their brilliance. And then it ends. So then there's a sof. So I'm trying to teach about an Ein Sof, and they're like, yeah, but this is where my sof goes. And so you say, okay, so allow yourself to maybe go beyond that. And you're like, can't go beyond that. Doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't resonate with me. It's Yavon, it's Kaifa.
So,
I think that's true by the top layer. I think everybody else is stupid. meaning...
Or not clear about what they're even saying.
That's what I mean. Meaning that most people didn't take the time. Again, when I say everybody, I don't mean all the people who have sat and spent years working on this. And like, Rabbi Tribbetz is a genius. Yeah? Like, absolute genius. And he said he's, in all of his years, he said three times from every conversation he's ever had with brilliant people who have a stance against a God reality, a purpose-driven reality, so there have been three times in his lifetime where he felt maybe they actually have a question that's just coming from their intellect. He said everybody else is emotional. He said people are just emotional. I don't want to believe it, and so I create a world around it. Why they don't want to believe it? That's like what I'm doing. That's like all the work that we're trying to do is trying to help people get to a place where you realize you know you're choosing pain. If it's like mineu be, it's unbelievable to me. In your worldview, life is meaningless. There's no creator. There's no God. That means there's no active purpose to life. You're choosing now a path of most resistance in a world that doesn't matter. Why are you making life more difficult? If it doesn't have meaning and it doesn't matter, that way is more painful. That goes against evolution. You're like the riot of God. like that is unbelievable. Like, what are you doing?
Meaning it's more, it would lead to a better life if they just chose to believe in God. Is that what you're going with?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and life is, you just look around, there's more meaning, they have less stress, there's more, I mean, like, all of the things that come with living a meaningful, deep, connected life is better, and you're choosing the hard way in the name of truth, which is, like, the opposite of what you should be doing if you really believe that. You would you wouldn't do this in any other area, except this. Like, Beshita. It's unbelievable to me.
I like that.
Just to clarify, when we say that the person was born with Achor and Kedem, so, I mean, we're supposed to, it seems like at the beginning that this was like sort of a reality, that we have things that we get, things we don't get, but then what Nachman is saying is that we're supposed to...
Rabbeinu.
What he's trying to say is that we're supposed to take this Achor state and realize that is from, that's also from Hashem.
Yeah, meaning the more we
change the Achor state, we're supposed to like get over that.
We want to be living in the world of Kedem. We want to be living in the world of Seder. So instead of being stuck in a mental pattern that says life is unfair and that things don't have order, and whenever you do that, what you're doing is you're cutting yourself off from God, our avoda is to put the fruit back on the tree, right? Is to turn towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I didn't want to go there, so I won't really. But what he's expressing is a big concept that comes up all over the place in the world of Sod. Are you familiar with the concept called Nasira? Have you ever heard of Nasira? No? It's too big for now, but if you guys want, maybe as we get closer to Purim, which by the way, Purim's like all about Chachma, which shouldn't be a surprise because it parallels and reflects Hanukkah. These are the two holidays, right, of the Torah Shebaal Peh. So it's our job to go back and find Chachma because all of Purim is about a world that looks like there's no God and we have to find God in the world. That's what the whole thing is. So all of Purim is about this concept called Nesira. The way that the world works is there's something called achar v'achar, back to back, nesira, which means separate, and then panim upanim.
Nesira,
which means to separate. Like, so that's how Adam and Chava are originally created, back to back, then they're separated, and then they have to have a relationship that's front to front. That is a metaphor for us and God. Before we are created, we are what's called back to back with God, meaning we don't exist. Your whole reality is just because you're on the back. You're like, you're connected to God, but in such a way where it's involuntary. You're involuntarily connected to God. You're one with God because you don't exist. So what does God do? God creates a world. He creates separation. He creates duality, right? But the purpose of the duality is for unity that comes from Bechira, that comes from choice. I'm actually going to choose to see and realize the oneness that's already there. So it was there to begin with, and it's there at the end. The part in the middle is Nasira. That's life. Like, all of history is this separation.
Yeah? Is that like Shri Sakhilin? Like,
yeah. But, I mean, that's part of what happens to create the separation. Yes. So we this can be seen as the three, everything in reality, the three stages of growth. There's everything until you're about 12 years old. That's achar v'achar. I love my Abba, I love my Tati, I love my Mommy. They're my parents, life is good.
Oh my gosh.
I'm one with them, but your whole experience is involuntary, and then you're like, and now I'm a teenager. We are separate. You are you, and I am me, and I'm finding myself, right? And some people never get back. By the way, that's sad realities. But the goal is now you love your parents because you appreciate who they are and what they did for you, and like you realize, oh, I'm really you. Like, I was a part of you and you made me. And it's like all of that beautiful, you know, love that comes from a parent and a child, right? That's the achar v'achar, nasira, upanim connection. Same thing happens in every relationship, in every aspect of, you know, first you start when you're a new person, you know, in a school or a company or this, you know, they're going to treat you a certain way. And then at some point they're like, okay, now you're on your own. Like, you have to make it work. But they do that so that you can grow, find yourself, and like reconnect to it in the right way. That's all of life. So answering your question, Aaron, we come into this world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we come into this world as naturally seeing the world achor. That's the stance we come into as, because that was the purpose of the world. As we start in as a katan, with mochin de katnas. And as we grow, we want to grow into this bigger mindedness, this bigger realizationness of how we're going to relate to God and how we're going to relate to life. Yep. Okay, and now he's going to tie it all back in. This paragraph on the right is really supposed to be on the top left. And I also skipped that a whole section in between because I knew that it would be impossible to do this, and you guys are great that you even went to go this far. Okay, now when you live this life, all of this, by the way, everything we just read, which was awesome, was to get to this. Right? This is now plugging it right back into our life day to day. When you live as Ani Emloch, I am the king, I know better, I can stand in resistance to life, I'm going to look at the physical world and my story and say that that's everything. Zeu hisnagdus haratzon. This means you are going to be battling. There's going to be a hisnagdus, a neged, an opposing force of wills in your life. Ani rotza shiye davar kain. I want life to be one way. V'hadavar lahefech. But the thing is the other way. Shelo kaseder. That's what it means to live a life shelo kaseder. It means you have desires about how life is supposed to be. You have thoughts about how life is supposed to be. And then life doesn't show up the way you think it's supposed to be.
No way.
And to the degree that you're attached to those thoughts, there's pain. Zos bechinas milchama. You are in war. You're in a war with life. Kikol milchama. What is war? Hu his nagdus haratzon. It's two wills that are fighting each other. That's what all war is. War is, I want this, you want that. Okay, well, let's just go till one of you can't go anymore. Right? That's a battle. Hu bechinas shelo keseder. And that's basically human history. Is a history of shelo keseder, of people battling over things because we don't get along, we don't get in alignment, we don't want the same things. V'zeo ki teitzei lemilchama. That's what it means when you go out to war. When you're born into war, into a milchama. K'shaholech lecha shelo keseder. When life doesn't go exactly how you think it should. And if you're a child, you have a temper tantrum. Hainu hisnagdus haratzon. Because things are going against your ratzon. So now you're in this war. So what do you want? At that point, what you want is you don't want to be in melchama because that's painful. Hisnagdus of Ratzon is always pain. War is painful. We don't want that. Like he said, you're going to have Divai. You're going to have Shaloka Seder. You're going to have Machala Slave. Unusano Hashem Elokecha Biyadecha. And God places your enemies in your hands. What does that mean? She is batel kol ritzonos neged ritzoncha. There's a state where your ratzon and what's happening aren't going to be in conflict. She yelich lecha keseder kirtzoncha, that the world is going to be in alignment with your ratzon. Amasai, how do you get there? So again, he's setting up the pasuk. Let's just turn it over. Just look at the pasuk for a second so you can see what he's trying to say. He's saying, ki teitzil milchama aloivecha. Your status quo is you're in war. Yeah? What do you want? Nesano Hashem Elokecha biyadecha. You would like that God put all your enemies into your hands, so you're not at war anymore. That your will in your life and your desires in your life are in alignment with what's going on in the world. Right? That's what you would like. How do you get there? Vishavisa Shivyo. You have to go take a captive. Okay.
That's an interesting question of why the pasuk ends.
Hold on, let's see what it does.
Amasai, how do you get to this place where instead of being at war with your ritzonos, God puts the enemies into your hands? Kad v'shavisa shivyu. When you can get to a place where you take it captive. Kishatiye bebechinas ma. When you can get to ma. Kishatamshich lecha elokus. Hashem, b'miloi alfen, when you can draw down a relationship to the godliness in all things. V'ze perush machshava, this all has to do with your thought. Chashov ma, you think in terms that are ma-oriented. U'kashitikasher tamid b'machshavtcha elokuso, when you are able to mentally connect as often as possible, he says always, your mind with the godliness that exists in the world. This is what it means. The king is bound up in these chains, the chains of his mochin. I'm not going to go into that right now. That's what it means. Go take a captive. Go draw down ma, this world of spiritual awareness, into your thinking. That's the captive you're going to take. Shetekasher elokuso b'machshavtecha. You're going to go draw down and connect a spiritual reality into your perception. Ki kol davar shenimshach mimakom gavoa. Anytime you're trying to draw down something that is so deep and so high, nekreshevi, it's called taking a captive. Kamo shekasov, like it says in the pasuk in Tehillim, that's referencing Moshe Rabbeinu, Alisa lamarum, you went up to the heaven, shavisa shevi, and you took a captive. That's going to reference the Torah. Vayedeze yizbatlu kol milchamos. When you do this, you will end all war. He means that in the world, but first and foremost in yourself. V'kol haritzonos neged ritzoncha, and the idea that there would be negdius, oppositeness, things that come up and oppose your ratzon, because you're going to be in alignment with a deeper world.
Is this all the same piece?
Yes, this is the end of that piece. V'zeh hasod nirmoz be'etz chayim. Okay, and then he says, where am I coming from? He said, learn the hakdama te'etz chayim, see the kavanos of the Ariza on Rosh Chodesh Elul, and you'll understand that I just explained to you these kavanos of those pieces in the Ariza. Okay, wait. Hold that question. Just want to address one thing real fast. It is an interesting thing that it says you have to go take a captive. Just want to speak out the captive part a little bit. Let's just look at the pasuk. Alisa lamarum, you went up to the heaven. Shavisa shevi, you took a captive. Lekachta matanas va'adam, you brought down presents for man. Va'af sororim, and even from those who were rebellious, meaning over there it's referencing the malachim that didn't want to bring down the Torah. Lishkon ka'elokim, right? There's going to be a dwelling of God. Okay, that's the pasuk that he's quoting to say, to take a captive means to go and live a spiritual reality. Seems like a stretch, but that is this pasuk. This is the pasuk from in the Gemara in Shabbos that describes Moshe going up to heaven and getting the Torah.
Nice.
Okay, Alisa Lamarim Shavisa Shevi. The Alshech, I think the other people say it, he just says it the easiest to bring down. The Alshech explains the Gam Lo She Shavisa Derech Hapshat Shel Torah. It doesn't mean you go and you take a captive. If you want to feel close to God, go and kidnap people.
I don't know.
Habilti mityaches leshevi etzel balei chomer. It's not speaking about the captives of physical beings. Ki'im, rather, shavisa mashehu shevi. Go take a captive. Go capture that which is a captive, be'emes. Shehu gam derech hasod. That is what... what is the secret? Asher hu zar le'ish chumri kishevi etzlenu. The spiritual reality is taken captive in the physical world.
It's like, we're getting it back.
We're getting it back. You're Shevi going to redeem. His,
meaning Hashem's...
Right. Yeah, Hashem's shevi. Hashem's captive. Meaning God and spiritual reality has been taken captive by the physical world. And if you want to go reconnect, you have to go shavisa shivyo. You have to go redeem that. Go get the captive. Go get that which was captured, right? Which is in the Medrash, in the Gemara, it's talking about the Torah. We're just speaking about spiritual reality. So that's what it says. Kitetzi lemelchama aloivecha, when you're in war with your enemies. Unesano Hashem elokecha biyadecha, and you want God to end all of that war, shavisa shivyo, you have to go take back the thing which is hidden in the world, right? Which the world took captive, which is God. Right, so the world took God captive. I'm going to bring that back.
But Moshe is going to take the Torah, which is not held captive. Like, who's the Torah being held captive by?
Yeah.
Bam! Velo od Ella, right? And a deeper pshat just on this pasuk, if you have that question, is Sheshavisa Masha Haya Shevi Biyada Malachim. The Malachim took it captive in Shemayim.
No way.
Shehayu machzikim b'Torah. They were holding on to the Torah. Shagam be'erkam hishevi. But it was that they're still more physical than the Torah is, so it was considered a captive. Ki ekusa l'mala me'ekusam, because it's really deeper and more spiritual than they are. Ki hi chachmasu yisparach, because it's the wisdom of God. So that's why the pasuk says, "Go up, Moshe. Go get that which was captured by the Malachim." Right there, it's in Shemayim, but that's still not as far as it can go. You have to go get it.
So good.
Wow. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's amazing.
So Rashi says it, Matsuda says it. He just says it so beautiful that it's like, I felt...
Rashi in Tehillim?
On the Pasuk. I think they go with the second shot because they're speaking about the Torah. But the more important part is that the Al-Sheikh is explaining the Sod. The Sod is... That which is a Shevi is that which is taken captive. What is taken captive in this world? Your relationship to God and your relationship to a spiritual world, because all you see is the physicalness. So that's what he's saying. If you want to go find peace in your life and stop being at war with everything, go find your connection to Hashem in reality. Go find the connection with the allness, the isness of life. You're going to have new energy. You're going to have new perspective. You're not going to be at war. You're not going to have emotional distress. You're going to be at peace. Life's going to be good. Shalom al Yisrael. That's our mission. Amazing piece.
So just bringing it back to Kenny's question, then it's like, how does this actually look practically? Like, you're in a milchama, everything is off, right? It's about your ego, whatever it may be. So now you want, it's an opportunity in order for you to connect all of that. Like, are we supposed to just jump into like the facts, like, oh, well, everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let me throw everything up to God, you know, let me throw everything up and bam, I'm there. Like, in a way, wouldn't that be suppressing what caused the milchama to begin with?
I think it requires a separate shir. I think it requires maybe a number of shirs if you really want to go in there, like, the right way. But I'll answer your question with, what is Gam Zulatova mean?
It's like, this too is also from Hashem.
Right. So why don't we just say Zulatova?
We'll be for it later.
Right? Could be.
Because it was perceived as something that shouldn't have happened, or perceived as something like that there was no purpose for it. So this too comes from God?
Yeah, so what's the Gam in Gam Zulatova?
We already know that most things are from Hashem, but we think that this thing isn't.
You naturally think it's not.
Right.
Right. That's
right. It Nachumish Gamzu wasn't coming to suppress your emotions and say, this is good, what are you talking about? It's all from Hashem, it's, everything's okay. And you're like, dude, man, my dog just got hit by a car. Like, how could you, like, what are you saying that to me? And that's not what he said. He said, right. No, Gam, you're experiencing many things. It's also Tova, right? He's not going to say, don't experience the life you're experiencing. That's happening.
Right.
But no, there's another layer. It's also Latova. Mm. It's also up here. That's how the beginning of the transition starts, which is you first have to see the pain, be in the pain, and you're there for whatever it is that's happening, but you're not letting it consume you so much that you lose yourself in the pain, and that's it. And then that's where people go into these dark places, because that's everything. Gamzu Latova says, yeah, it's okay. You're feeling pain now. That's real. That's real. I'm not going to tell you not to feel that. But don't lose your whole consciousness.
Right.
Don't lose everything in that, that you now become so identified with the pain, with what experiences Ra, that you've lost the fact that it's also physical. I mean, it's also godly. Huh?
So, gam, the emotions that you're feeling and the experiences you're feeling, that's also for you. That's
right.
You're saying gam, the emotions that you're feeling that don't seem geschmack, that's also for you.
Not the emotions are also good, but gam, meaning you're feeling all the things that you're feeling, but know that it's, you're not feeling everything. There's more.
God is also
there's
good.
There's also
behind
good
it.
Here.
Got it.
You may not be able to hear that, which is why you can't run around telling people Gamzu Latova when they're sitting Shiva. You know, you can't do that. It's awesome. Right? You're going to cause more pain.
Really,
but when a person has the ability to hear it, right, it's, and really it's for you, that allows you to kind of step in such a way where life doesn't overtake your total perspective. You've not lost everything by a tragedy taking place or by a trauma happening or something like that. Like you've created room for more. What you're really doing, and this is what we'd speak about if we had more time today, but I know it's late, is did I bring the Leshem? Did we see the Leshem that Hashem means eternal presence? Did we do that?
No, it's all the same.
Okay,
that's the source, though?
Yeah. Did we see the Leshem?
No.
Maybe we'll start with the Leshem next time, because that's really where this whole conversation starts. Imlo Afshav Eimatai. Did we do that piece from a Friedlander?
No.
Okay, Chofetz Chaim. Lots of good pieces, but that's going to be our way in to now how to actually experience this. Which the entry point for all of this is: can I live with Hashem? So how do you do that? So there are that alarm says that I took a lot of people.